The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to my brother and me, advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
And I'm Griffin.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Remember when we were kids?
Yeah.
When Publishers Clearinghouse, like people would win, like $1 million to get a big check. Who delivered those checks?
What?
Who delivered those checks?
On the Publishers Clearinghouse?
Yeah.
Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon never worked for Publishers Clearinghouse. I just found this out seconds before we started recording that it's just like a huge Mandela effect.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's Ed McMahon from Publishers Clearinghouse.
It was not Ed McMahon, Justin. Ed McMahon briefly worked for a competitor called America's Publishing House, but never worked for Publishers Clearinghouse, even though there are like clips from TV shows where the people on the TV shows were like, it was Ed McMahon. He just called. I've won the Publishers Clearinghouse.
Are you fucking with me?
I am not fucking with you, Justin.
Is it? Okay, I'm remembering now. And first of all, most of our young listeners are 12.
Yeah.
And so they used to just come to people's doors with a big check.
And some balloons for some reason? Like
balloons,
that's sweet in the pot?
Yeah, like if they came to my door like, hey, you're a millionaire and here's some balloons, I would not clock those.
The balloons are for the kids.
This is Mandela effect, like the Berenstain Bears and I can't think of another
one. For some reason, there are some people who think Sinbad was in the Kazam movie and it was called Shazam or something. And it's like, no, that was Shaq. But that one's never
that
got
one
me.
I don't subscribe to because I'm not a dumb. But anyway, they used to just come to your door and give you money. And I don't even think you had to put your name in. Sometimes Ed McMahon would just roll up to your house and be like, here's a bunch of money. But it wasn't Ed McMahon. It was actually Vince McMahon. And he would show up and be like, you got some money for you. And then when you took the check, Stone Cold Steve Austin would come and he would punch the check in half and he would punch your neck in half. And then and then he would get in your house and he would just take whatever he wanted.
Oh, Griffin, I'm sorry. I actually just looked it up. It wasn't Vince McMahon. It was Vince Vaughn. And he would show up with Jon Favreau.
Well, but if you
and they would say, like, your money, baby.
Yeah.
But if you got so much money and you don't even know it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of like wrestling jokes we could make if we did go with my one.
I know, but I can keep going with the swingers thing if you want
But actually, you know what? People thought that Vince McMahon was funnier, so that's like a Mandela effect too.
Oh my God, that's so weird.
And you know how people used to think that Cheerios were called Yummy-O's?
Uh-huh.
That's a Mandela effect. This shit freaks me out.
It freaks me out, too. And it also freaks me out. I think it's kind of bullshit that, like, we're just now discovering that Nelson Mandela acted like he was doing all sorts of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But really, he was like, he's just
switching
a dirty dog inside all your memories. Fucking everything up.
Well, yeah, he built that alternate universe switcheroo machine.
Ugh. Yeah. And then there's like do you guys know about the thing in Star Wars?
Go on.
The line in Star
Wars.
Ben Grimm in Star Wars.
He's like, it's clobbering time. He's smashed right out the...
He actually never said that. He said it's clubbering time. That's a little thing.
It's the Darth Vader part where you think he says, Luke, I am your father.
Spoiler
alert. But really, the real line that he says, it's lightsaber time, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, I did know that.
I don't like repeating that. I don't say that word like ever, but it's, but he, that is what he looks up at him. He's like, my father's not like you. And then Darth Vader is like, it's whatever, whatever, idiot. It's lightsaber time, B word.
Yeah.
A lot of people, there's a lot from Star Wars that people forget about. Like, yeah. The one scene where a lot of people think Obi-Wan Kenobi says, like, this lightsaber belonged to your father.
Yeah.
He really says, it saves time, dingus.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
stands next to Luke. And there is, rewatch it tonight. Yeah. There's a 10-minute sequence with where Luke is, like, trying to find the on switch.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan Kenobi's just like, blaze it. Blaze it. Yeah. Blaze that shit.
And
blaze
go.
It. Blaze yeah. it.
And then there's a big part where Jabba's penis...
His McClunky, please.
His McClunky is just like out.
Yeah.
And but and you see and you think about that and you're like, that can't be real. Mandela effect. And it's funny what our brains can do.
Yeah, because Han keeps tripping on the penis.
He does trips on it and he falls in the Sarlacc mouth and dies. And a lot of people get that twisted.
A lot of people don't remember that. Do you remember in Casablanca, he never says play it again, Sam. It's just that when Sam starts, he yells, that's my fucking jam.
Yeah.
Hey, play my joint, Sam.
I think the line is he just goes up to Sam. He's like, Sam, please.
Please play it for daddy.
But we think that's so stupid. So our brains are like, you know, it'd be a way more. Hey, what's up, Griffin? It's me, Nelson Mandela, inside your brain. You know what would be a more badass line? And he twists it up on me.
And yeah, and the actual line he says doesn't amount to a hill of beans, which sucks because I fucking love beans. Mm-hmm. And like people always cut off that last part in their brains because they forget about that long, really long sequence of him just eating a bunch of beans. Do you remember
a lot
that?
Of, a lot of people think.
A lot of people do think, Justin, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was following, I was trying to like enhance yours.
No, please go ahead.
Well,
Mine was going to be a pivot out, so if you've got a chunky one, go ahead and let it fly, which is the classic line from Sandlot that James Earl Jones says to the boys.
When he's taunting the kids from over the fence, he keeps peeking up over the fence like Wilson, he's like, you don't fucking got it. If you got a chunky one, let it fly, you little turds.
A lot of people don't know that he's actually standing on the other side of his fence with a glove and has been for the past few months.
He's the one that
crank one.
A lot of people remember the dog catching it in his mouth. It was James Earl Jones caught it in his mouth.
And in Gone with the Wind, everybody thinks, God is my witness, I'll never go hungry again. But really what happens is the wind blows all the food out of the house.
And she says, and I got the monkeys like a motherfucker.
Yeah, and then they don't have any more food because it's gone with the wind. And so she's like, get back here with the wind. But then they go to Subway.
Yeah.
And you know how everybody thinks Eat Fresh was the Subway line?
What?
That one's right.
And
sometimes your brain's not playing tricks on you.
That's when it's the weirdest.
A lot of people think that this used to be an advice show, that we actually did advice on
when.
The show.
Point to win. Send me a clip of when we did this.
I'll wait.
I couldn't find anything. I did a Google, but I couldn't find anything. Let's turn it over a new leaf and try to help people. This is an advice show. If you have an actual advice query that we could help you with, mbmbam@maximumfun.org is our email address.
It's important we give that out every 4 years or so.
Yeah, because I don't know. I bet we see an influx. You're just sitting around. You're like, hey, I need some help. And we'll help you. It's not a problem. I don't mind.
I like doing it.
Contrary to the evidence of the past few hundred episodes, I like doing it.
I do like doing it.
My favorite Korean sandwich place gives out punch cards. For every 10 items purchased, you get a free sandwich. I've been collecting full punch cards for years. Some have been gifts, one I even found on the street.
Nice.
I'm leaving town soon, and I want to claim my free sandwiches as soon as possible, but I'm scared of being recognized as having received a free sub the day before. What do I do if that happens? I have about 6 cards left. That's from Nervous Sandwich Eater in Nebraska.
I mean, you got to roll in and get all your sandwiches at once.
Yes.
If you do this if you come in for a free sando every day, they're going to get pretty annoyed and PO'd with you. If you come in once and you're like, 7 sandos, please.
Then it's always over and done with.
It's
also
done.
We need to, as a society, start thinking more about whether or not employees are paid commission or not. And I think that will lighten up a lot of these concerns for you.
5 o'clock, they're going home. No matter if you take all the bread and feed it to ducks outside.
Right.
And then walk out, they're going home at five.
This yeah. person, at this, they're getting paid the same amount, almost certainly. And here's the thing. It's not like you've conned the system. These punch cards, the punches only come when you buy a sandwich. So they knew when they established this punch card deal, they knew what they were getting into, that they were like, yeah, we are charging 10% more than we yeah. should per sandwich.
You bought it. You already bought those sandos. That's what, except for the somebody one you found on the street. Somebody well, so, bought this.
It's been paid for.
You gotta give credit though. I can never keep track of a punch card long enough to fill it out. I don't actually understand why you didn't redeem. You know,
that's true because you did buy enough sandwiches to refill those, which means you could have used some of those to get free the sandwiches you paid for to get the punches on the card.
Yeah. Why didn't you redeem it?
You should have redeemed it.
Were you saving it for like, I need to feel like I've really achieved something today. Today's a free sandwich day, right? That when they're like, that'll be, I don't know, like $8. And you're like, no, it won't. And it's just like, I need to know that the universe is on my side for this one today.
Get those sandwiches. Nobody cares. Nobody there cares. Nobody there is going to get mad at you. You're overthinking it. Go get those sandos and eat them all in one sitting in front of them.
You're overthinking it, by the way. We need to be careful because we could put ourselves out of business by just having that. Each episode is now 5 minutes long because we can answer 75% of questions with, you're overthinking it.
You're overthinking it. Just like, you know, go get some sandwiches.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to say.
I mean,
why didn't you redeem them?
You could invest in some costumes.
Why didn't you redeem them?
You should have done this a long time ago.
When you fill one up, you're hooked on the sense of achievement. You got to let yourself luxuriate in your spoils. You worked hard for those 10 punches. Go get your free sandwich. There's nothing more delicious except a little pepperoncini.
Unless...
I don't know, Trav.
I don't know, Trav.
Okay, here's what
you Trav, I don't want to break 10 years of tradition, but I don't... Unless...
You're going to get five friends, and you're all going to go in, and each one is one by one going to get the sandwich, right? And then you're all going to step outside, and then they're going to hand the other five sandwiches to you. Now, it is important, because this is the prestige, the employees need to see this happen, and they're like, oh, they got us! We fell for the oldest trick in the book. Well, because now it feels like a thing.
You tell me now how that's better.
Because now it's a bit now, and it's a thing. And
you think that people working at Quiznos want Korean Quiznos want a sketch?
Well, I think everybody likes to feel like they're a part of something.
I guess so. And then
even Andy Garcia joins in like the third one. You know what I mean? Like he wants to be part of it too.
Actually, Travis, that doesn't happen at Oceans.
And
in
what?
Fact, Andy Garcia is not even in them.
Holy shit, it's Cherry. It's Cherry Garcia, his sister.
It's Carlos Mencia.
Oh.
Carlos Mencia plays the bad guy in all of the Ocean's movies, but it's not the same character.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Carlos Mencia plays different bad guy characters throughout it. So, can I do a wizard?
Can you?
I guess.
I'm going to do a wizard now. Ben Kant sent this one in. Thank you, Ben. Crushing it, as always. It is how to win an I love you more argument.
Oh, thank God.
Which is also my favorite line from Star Wars, where Leia's like, I love you. And he's like, I love you. I love you the maximum amount, baby. Mm-hmm. And then he gets frozen.
Yeah.
How do you win an I love you more argument? It turns out that there are a ton of ways. You just have to get creative. Here, we'll share some sweet and sassy comebacks that will make your SO admit defeat. Read on to come out on top the next time you hear I love you more.
I'm just glad that this article is finally acknowledging the truth, which is love is a competition.
Yep.
As are things.
A battlefield, but that's a different thing.
Mm, and a flower, a rose with thorns.
That's so true, Griffin.
Okay, so number one, I love you the most. Dazzle them with a word that's even better than more. A child wrote this one.
What's a word that's better than more? Additional.
Even more. Fuck.
I love you incrementally atop your love.
I double dog love you.
I have the ultimate level of, these are more suggestions for I love you the most. I have the ultimate level of love for you. My love for you is unparalleled. I love you more than what's humanly possible. All of
now
those
that's,
are.
Okay, okay, stop.
Yeah.
You're a human.
Yeah.
You're a human. You
it's
can't.
Not true. It's
I love not true. You. Like, I got dog love for you, which is more than human love.
It's a special love.
My love for you has exceeded maximum recommended settings.
Yeah.
I'm terrified. I'm burning up inside because of the love I have for you. My processing units just can't handle it. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
I need a doctor for how much I love, because I got a bad case of loving you. Like the song says, but mine's serious because I could die. I could
have you ever thought about that maybe it's two different statements and he's saying, doctor, doctor, give me the news. And then also, doctor, I've got a bad case of loving you.
So it seems like he knows the news. He has his diagnosis already.
Yeah, that's the score.
But his is kind of WebMD. Like, he just, like, Googled it. And the doctor's probably like, God, you're, like, the third dude today. I think about you day and night. Say you're totally smitten to be 100% victorious. Here's some suggestions. Even after all this time, I'm absolutely obsessed with you. You're on my mind 24/7.
Oh, boy.
I totally adore you. I'm head over heels for you every second of the day.
Some of these are starting to sound a little bit less of a I love you more competition and more something one might find in the journal of someone that needs some help.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Like a killing guy.
Yeah. I think about you day and night. I'm still obsessed with you.
I like, even after all this time, I'm absolutely obsessed with you, acknowledging that time's ravages should have reduced my love for you at this point.
Even though I know all the horrible shit about you and how terrible you are, like 40% of the time, I'm still pretty obsessed with you.
I frequently forget to eat, poop, and sleep because of the
wait,
love
where
I
do
have
the commas go in there, Griffin?
Gross. I love you to the moon and back. Declare your loves out of this world to win your silly fight. Tell them that there's nothing on earth that compare to how you feel about them. You'll make them swoon with your adoring words.
No,
suggestions.
You won't.
You're my moon and stars. You're the sun in my life. My love for you is out of this world.
When you say you're my moon and stars, what does that mean? Because it's not like on a normal basis, you the moon and stars are so very important to every individual that it's like, my love for you has replaced your love for the moon and stars?
No, like, I think it's saying quite literally. And it's stupid because you know what my moon and stars is?
The moon and stars?
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
They're up there every night doing it.
I'm just saying that there's what you could say, like, you're my bread, right? I love bread.
You're the blood in my body, and I do need that.
I don't know that I love my blood, though. I'm saying, like, I'm making an optional choice. Well, okay. Your blood is great, though.
I got amazing blood.
But if I say, like, I love you more than I love detective plus weird consultant procedural shows. And that's a lot.
That means something.
That means something.
You're going to be, here's where we really start to get into it. You're going to be my number one for an eternity. Tell them you'll always be their biggest fan to win them over. Bring up words like eternity, forever, or endless. It'll be unmistakable that you'll always be there for your SO.
I don't want a fan.
I place you above everything else. I worship you. You always come first. Your happiness is my biggest priority, babe.
Gross.
Babe.
Babe, forever, babe. We'll never die.
Hey, even this when is all shit that like 15-year-old Travis said because he thought it was romantic. This is gross.
But it's getting there, isn't it?
Travis
out. You think about this Mandela effect, your brain is like, that sucks. But really, it's good.
If Teresa said to me, I'm your biggest fan...
Forever,
that is,
for eternity.
For eternity?
For an endless forever
no,
eternity.
No, thank you.
I worship you, Travis. Travis,
thank
hey,
you,
real quick.
Travis, I worship you.
I worship you eternally.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. I mean, that's definitely uneven as far as our yokes go.
I place you above everything else, Travis, forever and for eternity.
That is putting a lot of pressure on me as your brother, but I really appreciate it. And I also know, frankly, I can rise to that challenge.
If I had to choose...
But I'm not married to you guys...
Here, let me try this next one. If I had to choose the best part of my life, it'd be you, kissy face emoji con.
Well, you're right about that.
They say they're a gift, so they'll melt and admit defeat. Say that just their presence is the highlight of their life. What? Your presence is the highlight of your life. That's great. That's actually pretty meaningful.
Can I just say this? Whoever has written this article also does not know how to win an I love you more competition, because the way that you win, I would argue, is for your partner to be the one who loves you more. Like, I love you more.
Oh,
good.
Whoa.
Right?
if you love the other person more, you've lost.
Right.
Yeah.
So if they're like, I love you. I love you more. Good. I appreciate that.
That's great.
Checkmate,
that's great for me.
I guess. Checkmate.
Awesome.
Oh, cool,
sorry I don't love you as much as you love me, but I'm over here ba-da-ba-ba-ba loving it.
Yeah, I appreciate. Hey, awesome. Because I know how much I love you.
Yeah.
And if yours more than that, fuck yeah, dude.
Or you could get really butthurt about it. Just be like, wow, I thought I love you the most, but fuck me, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I'm the asshole.
I guess I'm the real big butthole. I got proof I love you more. I bought you a PS5. Be over the top and give them a gift to come out on top in your quote-unquote fight. This is a great call for a special milestone like their birthday or an anniversary. Use a thoughtful gift as evidence for how much you adore them.
Now, you do have to sit on that gift for a while because you're like, I've bought the PS5. Now to get into an I love you more. I love you. I love you too. Fuck.
Damn it.
Fuck.
Damn it.
Why did you say sure that? You don't? How much? What? How much do you love me? Why are you asking me that?
Quantify it. Fight me.
But just compare it to my love for you. Come on. It'll be fun. I don't want to do that.
I love you. I love you too. What are you fucking afraid of? Challenge me.
But come on, put yourself out there.
Here's some suggestions. It's obvious I love you more. Just check out the package on your doorstep. I think these concert tickets show I love you more. I blow your love out of the park. I booked us a trip to Maui. I like...
Wow!
The tense in that one sounds a lot like they're doing a little bit of role play. Like, oh yeah? Well, my love... I blow your love out of the park. I cast...
Level 5 immolation. Trip to Maui. It's a critical success.
I wish I'd been there when this kid was like, what do people, where's a romantic place to go? Maui, I guess.
Can I also just say, that sounds a little bit like whilst in the middle of the argument, I've pulled up like Expedia or something on my phone. And it's like, oh yeah, I just booked. It's like, you booked us a trip without talking to me first? Like, how much did you spend? I'm busy that week.
What if I was busy?
I can't go.
Don't get mad because I played my trap card. We're going to Maui. You lose. Good day, ma'am.
You lose.
All the dictionaries in the world wouldn't have enough words to describe my love. If you're left speechless, say words can't express all your love. Let them know that there's no way you could tell them how much you love them, even if you had all the phrases for love at your fingertips. If you're with each other in person, give your SO a hug to really seal the deal.
Okay. I love you, floobity bloobity. Hug.
Yeah. I'd run out of breath if I listed all the ways I love you. So what, you want me to die, Sheila?
Come on.
That's very selfish of you. You should know how much I love you.
Go buy all the books? Come on.
It'd take more than a lifetime to share everything I love about you. So do not ask me to, because we will both be dead at the end of it. Here's another one. A trillion poems couldn't capture how much I love you.
Really?
Use impressive numbers like 100, a million, or 1,000 to express that you can't quantify all your love. Do they know that those three are not in order of size? 100 poems couldn't capture how much I love you. That's not really that impressive. There's a grip of poems out there.
Also, almost certainly not true, right? Like, this is when you get into that, like, all these poems couldn't express how much I love you. It's like, I don't know,
that's
man.
Lazy.
Like, one, you haven't even tried.
These good poems. Like, there's a lot of poems.
Yeah. Even that, if it was just like, roses are red, violets are blue, you're really great. Like, okay, cool. Yeah, nice, man. Like, I love you a lot. That's all you're expressing this whole time. Like, you're not rewriting anything.
Yeah, and a lot of poems, and a lot of people don't know this, but I'm married to a poet, and she has taught me a lot about this stuff, is that some poems aren't even about loving someone, and some of them are about, like a big, strong baseball player.
And get this, they don't even have to rhyme, which I think is absolute horseshit, because that's just a story at that point, right? But a bad story where I didn't fill in all the details. I just said a bunch of phrases together, and you're like, oh, the imagery. It's like, yeah, but like, how tall was he? We don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't put it in the story, right?
Yeah. You know, I was referencing Casey at the bat there, but then I forgot that at the end he does strike out. So like, he's
what?
Actually,
spoilers?
He's not actually
Star
a
Wars
good...
and Casey at the bat.
He's not a good baseball player, is what I'm saying. He's a big, strong idiot.
Well, hold on. Fuck you, Griffin. Even the best baseball player doesn't have, like, a one-point, like, batting average. Everybody misses sometimes.
This was an important homer for him.
So he's not clutch. He can't handle the pressure. Doesn't mean he's not a good baseball player. I'd like to see you try. Casey's up there every day at the bat, putting the work in.
Yeah.
And here you are
doing it. Are we finally talking about Casey?
Yeah, man.
Okay. We've been putting it off for a decade, but let's fucking get this, dude. Why? Okay. The poem is about a guy that tries to hit baseball. It's so
and
hard.
And it's so important that he hits it. Oh, my God.
And it's so important. They really need him to hit it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like, and he swings with great power, and he misses.
Only on the third one, though. The first two, he lets go by and says, not my style, and, like, I didn't want to hit it.
What an asshole.
Right. And then he chunks it, and he doesn't do it. And, like, everyone, this is how things went in the 1900s,
late
1880s. Yeah. He did it, and everybody's like, fuck, yeah. This is my favorite poem ever.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep bringing this up. I'm going to go to my friends and be like, guys, I just read the fucking coolest poem. It's about a guy who doesn't swing at a baseball a couple times, and then he does and misses and bums everybody out. And I think it's the best poem I've ever read.
Yeah. Someone must have, I think it's Melville, right? But somebody must have gone to him and been like, hey, One Note, great poem. Love the poem. All the baseball stuff, love it. One Note, what if he hit it at the end?
What if he hit
what
it
if
at the
he
end
really
and the
slams
last line
it.
Was like, and he cranked it and everybody was so jazzed and they went and had a great afternoon.
No, it's Ernest Thayer. And it's like, what if even the other team's fans were like, Casey did a great job.
Damn, Casey.
He swings at the first pitch, two notes. He swings at the first pitch and totally nails it. And everyone's like, oh, thank God. And then if you want, maybe it's not like a walk-off home run. You can change it and be like, he hits it. They're up by two.
He gets on base.
He gets on base or something. And then the next guy strikes
and then
out.
Jameson comes to bat.
Yeah.
Jameson.
And we can call it Jameson at the bat, the sequel.
We call it, the name of the poem is now Jameson cranks that shit after Casey puts up an impotent single.
And maybe Jameson really cranks it, but what's this? Oh, the player, we'll call him Doan. Doan just like really leaps in the air, like a 9-foot leap. It's tremendous. Catches it out of the air.
Yeah.
Right? So now it's like, oh, everybody did a great job.
Everybody
right?
did a great job. Doing especially swimming in tush.
Oh, yeah.
There could be four or five more stanzas. And it's like, and then.
Yeah, maybe they go into overtime. They're tied.
Oh, and the game never ends.
Yeah.
But everybody's swimming in tush by the end.
Everyone's swimming in tush. That's the only way they can get them to stop playing. They just call it, and you can have all the tush you want.
There are two different towns in America that claim to be the real Mudville.
Why would you want to be that loser-ass town?
It sucks.
Why do you want to be this beat-down, shitty town?
Yeah. Where the biggest thing you got going is a dude lost at baseball and got no tush.
That's us! We're the tushless town!
All right.
We're the ones where it happened, or didn't happen.
You could give up and respond, I know. End the argument by soaking up your SO's love. Get a little cocky and say you're already totally aware they adore you. It's a great way to stop them in their tracks and make them laugh. Suggestions. Tell me something I don't know. Okay, sounds good to me. How could you not? Shrug emoji. Wow.
I love you more. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm trying to love you more, but I've just never known how to. And you.
I'm the Casey at the bat of love.
I'm trying to swing away and I keep missing.
And this one will for sure get you broke up with. Let's just agree we love each other equally. You're not really arguing, but calling the truth is truce is still pretty cute. Remind them that love doesn't have to be a battlefield, even though we have spent the last 10 tips demanding that love be a battlefield.
Focus
on what really matters, your feelings for each other, and celebrate that you're both completely in love. Suggestions. Why don't we call it even? We're both 100% in love. I don't want to argue. Let's just call it truce.
Good. We're in love.
I think we should call it a day and just cuddle. I'm not going to cuddle
I love
you.
I love you more. Don't do this.
Don't do this. Let's stop and cuddle. I'm not going to cuddle with you. You're fucking weak.
We're
Couldn't
driving.
Think of a good thing to say. Yeah.
Okay, cuddle me. No, I'm driving. Cuddle me if you love
cuddle
me.
Cuddle me now.
If you love me, you'll let go of the wheel.
If you don't cuddle me right now, it means I love you the most. And I will be consistently dissatisfied with the level of love that you are giving me. That's the subtext of this whole thing. That's all. Don't do any of this. Don't do any of this.
No, don't do it.
No, don't do any
I love you in a different way.
Oh, that's cool. I love you. You may love me more in the way that you love me, but I love you in a very special way, like the way a dog loves a person.
Oh, this is great. When your partner says, I love you more, you say, like, are we talking like per pounds? Is this a ratio thing? Or is it just like, right, we're just doing one for one, love comparison? Let's really break this down, because I'm about 4 inches taller than you, right? So I would say that's my good. Love per square inch might be lower than yours, but still my overall number. And by this point, they've left the room.
They've left you.
Yeah.
You say, I've got 60 pounds on you, and that's pure love muscle. And I'm not talking about my wiener when I say that. Yeah. I mean,
if you got a 60 pound wiener, oh my God, go to the hospital.
That's my favorite stanza in Casey at the Bat, where it takes like, actually, it's like two or three stanzas that talks about like every dimension of Casey's wiener.
Yeah.
Where it's like, he's like, now the leather bound sphere comes hurtling through the air. And did you check out this dude's hog?
That massive hog.
They keep having to redraw the baselines because as Casey goes from base to base, his normal member just dusts it away.
And it's not just like a physical thickness. It's got a lot of emotional depth as well. It reads to kids in the hospital and everything. This is one incredible wiener.
Its symbolic weight can actually be measured by physical scales. That's how important this wiener is.
It's amazing.
And,
yet,
and maybe he can't close the deal when he needs to.
But so he can't hit
he has
hit
a baseball. But his automobile has a special sidecar for his thing, for that dirty that damn dirty thing Casey's got. That's it for this article. I feel like we did a good job with it.
Yeah.
I'm glad we could help. And I want to help somebody else. My thirst is still unslaked.
Well, it's got to wait.
What?
It has to wait. We got to help ourselves first.
Money.
Let's go to the money tab.
Can I tell you guys something?
Okay.
And I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be bringing this up now. My time is valuable.
Yeah.
Money. Yeah. It's my every second. I've done the math.
Yeah.
Every second of my life is worth 73 cents. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but there's a lot of seconds in the day, guys.
No, that shit adds up. Yeah, that's like $14 or something.
Yeah. And you know what I don't have? Time to waste at the post office. That's time I could be making money on stocks and bonds and dividends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Or losing money.
Griffin,
in this market?
It's tough out there.
Griffin, not now.
I'm really sorry. The market, I've lost my shirt, pants, underwear, kidneys, a nut. In this market? Thanks, NASDAQ.
More like NASDAQ. Stamps.com saves you time, money, and stress. Stamps.com gives you access to all the post office and UPS shipping services you need right now from your computer. And get discounts you can't find anywhere else, like up to 30% off USPS rates and 86% off UPS. Now, it does say here, please don't talk about losing a nut on the stock market. Oh, fuck.
Oh, great.
Plus, stamps.com.
But they want us to be real, right? Like,
they say get real. Just don't say the word nut, at least not in reference to a testicle.
Okay. Well, maybe I wasn't.
Oh,
try to prove it.
Okay. Plus, Stamps.com seamlessly works with Shopify, Amazon, Etsy, eBay, and more. So stop wasting time and start saving money when you use Stamps.com to mail and ship. Sign up with promo code MYBROTHER, all one word, for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code MYBROTHER, all one word. Do it. Coward.
Whoa.
Yeah, they didn't say that part. I did.
You know, you got a fresh look. You got a new style. And you want to reflect that with clothes. Maybe you're into new things. Maybe you're turning over a new leaf. Maybe it's a new page for you.
Mm. Maybe you're in the witness relocation program.
Maybe you're in the witness relocation program and all your clothes would give you away to the terrible mafia dons that are tracking your every step.
Well, all my clothes have trackers set into them, Justin, and you know that.
Yeah, but so you need some new clothes. What better way to do it than with Stitch Fix? They make shopping easy. In fact, you could make the argument that they even do the shopping for you. You tell them your style. You tell them the kind of people you're hiding from. You tell them your size, how much you want to spend on garments. I would expect, I'd say, not, don't get cheap here. Okay, this is
my life.
This is your life hanging in the balance. And some special occasions that are coming up. Like perhaps you're testifying. Who knows? I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to dox you here. Just Stitch Fix can help you get set up. They're going to send you some garments. You try them on. You see what you think. You keep only the ones you like. The ones you don't like, you put in this prepaid shipping envelope and you send it right back to them. No big deal. They're all handpicked for you, so it's going to reflect your look. And you work with a stylist that's going to try to anticipate sort of what they think that you will love. Shipping is free. Returns, exchanges, all free and easy. So sign up today at stitchfix.com/mybrother to get $20 off your first purchase. That's stitchfix.com/mybrother. To get $20 off your first purchase, limited time offer, purchase within 2 days of sign up.
Hi, I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Our comedy podcast, Jordan Jesse Go, just celebrated its 15th anniversary.
It was a couple months ago, but we forgot.
Yeah, completely. Our silly show is 15 years old. That makes it old enough to get its learner's permit.
And almost old enough to get the talk.
Wow, I hope you got the talk before then. A lot of things have changed in 15 years. Our show's not one of them.
We're never changing, and you can't make us.
Jordan, Jesse, Go, the same forever at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going first. It's me, Jackie Cation.
Man, she's always this bossy. Hi. I'm Lori Kilmartin. We're a bunch of stand-up comics, and we've been doing comedy like 60 years total, both of us, but we look amazing.
We're working out. We drop every Monday on Max Fun, and it's called The Jackie Lori Show, and you could listen to it and learn about comedy and learn about anger management and all the things.
And Jackie is married but childless, and I'm unmarried but child full. So together, we make one complete woman.
Is that just what that one's going to end?
Yeah. And we try to make Kyle laugh just like that and say, oh my God, every episode.
It's a good job.
Jackie and Lori Show, Mondays, only on Maximum Fun.
Now can we get back to helping?
Yes.
I would love this.
Yeah.
Please. Thank you.
But let's not help him too much.
No. For sure.
I don't want to make ourselves obsolete, you know?
You don't want to give people an unrealistic expectation of our abilities. I'm at the bar, and I need to order a beer. Biru, ipon. There you go. Easy. Oh, wait. They're in America.
Listen to this fucking guy.
My mistake.
I'm ordering a beer to celebrate getting my reports done. But he's distracted. Okay. I'm at the bar and I need to, I don't know who the he is referring to.
Probably the person in the bartender.
Yeah, the one you might order a drink from.
Yes.
Traditional.
I'm at the bar and I need to order a beer to celebrate getting my reports done. But the bartender is distracted watching Austin Powers and seems really into it. Am I legally allowed to interrupt his bliss and order another brewski? That's from Chillaxing in Chapel Hill. Now, I want to talk to you for a second about an interesting little thing you've done with your prose here. You made it sound at the beginning like you're ready to begin drinking beers. And it sounds by the end of the question like you're settling in for another beer. And I feel like you need to decide which one it is. Have you already been enjoying beers?
Yes, Justin.
Or are you a new arrival here?
You got that.
Because I feel like it changes the tenor of your relationship with the bartender.
I would say that if you walk in, it sounds to me like the first beer was a motivation to work on the reports, right? This is my coworker now. This is a team effort between me and my friend Beer. And now I finished the reports, and now it's time for a reward beer, which will be perhaps higher gravity. Perhaps now I'm going to go for a Goza, you know what I mean, where I was having a lager before.
A Gozer?
A Gozer, yeah. Gozer the Gozerian, indeed.
Drink that spooky beer up.
I'm gonna let him take over my body and use me as the gatekeeper. Now, here's the thing.
So erotic.
I also would guarantee I've been to a
bar
too.
Sorry I said that.
That's all right. It is.
It didn't need to be said.
It's fine. But we
I thought it would be funny, but I don't think it's actually that good if Gozer gets in your body and uses you as a vessel.
Okay. Well, we all have our feelings about it, Griffin. You've made yours clear. That when you walked in, you got your beer. The bartender said, can I get you anything else? And then you said, no. And that bartender then said to themselves, cool, back to Austin Powers. Mm. Now it's your turn to reestablish the connection because you said you didn't want anything else. Here's my suggestion. What do you guys think about this? You're going to laugh maybe a little too hard at the next justifiable joke that one might laugh at.
Yes.
And you're going to break.
Let them know.
Until they look at you're like, oh, laughing this hard sure makes me thirsty.
Okay, that's great. That's great. I love Travis. That's actually a good one. Just like, he's pooping next to Tom Arnold. That's hysterical.
That's a good one.
Why I got your attention over here? I would love a big bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, whatever.
You should, or if you can get a word in edgewise, you should just order 8 or 9 beers so that you don't have to
get them lined up. Maybe a flight.
Yeah, flight of big beers. Because, I mean, you can say, like, oh, I'll get one during the funny poop scene with Tom Arnold. But then, like, you're not going to really have a big window there because the next joke is just going to come fast and furious right after and that.
Either the bartender is watching on DVD, which is a possibility, I guess, or way more likely it's on TBS, at which point there will be commercial breaks, right?
I mean, I guess, but, like, who wants to wait for that?
That's a good point.
I can't keep tabs on Austin Powers long enough.
No, that's the bartender's job, is to keep tabs.
Yeah. Travis.
Thank you.
God, Austin Powers is fucking funny.
It's so good.
I wish I was watching that instead of this.
And I get it, man, because you look away from that for 2 minutes, you're lost in the plot.
Yeah. It's going too fast.
Yeah, man. Because
it's really doing a balance of, like, comedy and action.
And there's so much character work that you're like, wait, why does he care about this now?
If this was the Love Guru, you would have plenty of windows to get in there and get the beverage that you need.
Yeah, there's some lengthy.
Not that it's not funny, but that it's they give the jokes a little bit more room to breathe in the Love Guru.
Yeah, they don't let you get up.
No. The pace. It's funny because it's like they said in How I Married an Expert. It's like we're gonna have some jokes, but mostly we're going to have, like, a real story here that you really have to follow. And then you got to Austin Powers. They're like, you know what? We can focus a little bit more on the jokes, all the jokes. And they're like, you know what? Too many jokes. Love Guru, we're just going to have a few jokes. What about story? No.
No. So, I mean, Love Guru's got good story in it.
Does it, Griffin?
Yeah.
And also, speaking of Ben Taveret, did you know that it is a spinoff of So I Married an Expert?
I did, yeah.
I just can't get enough of that fact.
In
the loosest sense, Mike Myers, whatever you think about the quality of Ben Taveret, which is wild and unassailable, it is wild that Mike Myers did a called shot of laying. Do you realize Mike Myers laid the mythology out of the Ben Taveret in So I Married an Axe Murderer, wrote the check, put it in a Bible, put the Bible on a shelf, came back 25 years later, opens the Bible. What's this? Oh, that's right, that check.
Definitely forgot about the Bible. Definitely did not remember.
Completely forgot about the Bible. And then makes Ben Taveret based on the mythology he established in So I Married an Axe Murderer. Unfathomable. Unfathomable.
That's why
isn't it, Justin? I'm sorry. Isn't it more likely that someone, maybe Ed McMahon, showed up from Netflix with a giant check and said, "But we do need you to give us an idea right now."
Yeah.
And he just finished rewatching his own movie because that's what I would do if I was Mike Myers and I'd made so many classics.
God knows I watched my own TV show. Also, I wish there were more episodes just so I had more to watch over and over again.
Man, we're fucking funny. But then he was like,
"Not funny enough,
or too funny."
Possible.
Us
and then
Mike
he was
Myers.
Like, Ben Taveret? And they're like, sold, Mike.
Sold, Mike. Thanks.
Here's your big check. I'm Ed McMahon. Bah-haw!
Sorry. I've recently taken up salsa dancing lessons, and it's going really well. The only problem is I get very sweaty when doing even the slightest amount of exercise.
Yes, me too.
This makes it particularly awkward when my dance partner has to touch my sweaty self. Plus, it doesn't look too graceful. How can I sweat less, or at least sweat with style on the dance floor? That's from Sizzling Salsa Boy in Sydney.
I mean,
I wish I glistened right?
The sweat is part of it.
It's part of it,
but it shouldn't be all of it, Justin.
It's all of it. It's sensuality. Sex. It's connection.
Sex. No, but this is the thing, Justin. There's a difference between having that glistening sheen of sweat, right, which is what we all strive for all the time, versus that just like, oh, is it hot in here? Like, that. I did 2 hours of yard work this weekend. Yeah. And, like, you would have think I was thrown into a pool by a big bully.
I call it work glitter because it's when I'm putting in the work.
Yes.
You know what I mean? When I'm putting in the work and I start to glisten with possibility of a renewed me that feels better and has more confidence, like, that's my, that I treasure that sweat. I treasure it. And for this, the sweat is just the sexuality oozing out of you on the dance floor.
All dance is sex. All sex is dance. This is my theory.
That lay it out. You can't.
I think he just said it. No, he just said the whole theory, I believe, which is all sex is dance and all dance is sex.
Sex is dance. Salsa dance, especially, the wetter the better. People will know. Leave no doubt in their mind when they see how wet you are on that salsa dance floor.
So, okay, ice dancing. That's ice sex.
Yes.
You're saying.
But you don't get that wet.
What about the cha-cha slide?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, that's sex, man.
The cha-cha doing slide it right? is a sort of prescribed sex. It's that, like...
Wait, you guys don't have a caller during your sexual exploits?
Yeah, who's like, now glide to the left. And I would be like, that's not the direction.
It's possible right now.
Side to side movement.
I said glide to the left. I'll try it. Whoa, you were right.
Whoa, this is
that's why you hired me, man. Now follow along. Reverse. I don't know, but whoa, it feels great.
Cha-cha, real smooth. Dude, I don't. How?
I'll try it. Whoa.
What about like shaker style dancing?
That's very light.
Like, does it give to be sent? That kind of thing.
I don't think
like,
they do a lot of dancing in there, Justin. Unless, you, like, I guess the shaking.
Well, they move around a chair. They move around a chair.
Oh, no, Griffin, you're thinking of the, fuck.
That's good.
You're thinking of the fuck.
Yeah,
you're
thinking of musical chairs. That's what I was trying to get to. It just wasn't there. Fuck.
I remember doing a chair-based choreography in elementary school to Tis a Gift to Be Simple. And think the whole time thinking like this is deeply, deeply erotic. I think anybody who salsa dances and doesn't sweat is a cyber person.
Yeah,
that is true.
And that's fine. You should be able to express your cyber feelings through the art of dance, but you can't beat yourself up if you're not sweating.
Yeah.
And you know what? Next time you're dancing with that partner and they feel that sheen of sweat on you, you don't have to say it out loud because don't be that person, but you can think like, you're welcome. I'm in it, right?
I mean, I'm in it. I'm here. You see my commitment. It's oozing out my pores.
It's a good sign you ain't phoning it in, right? Like, I'm literally giving it all I've got. If I gave any more, I might pass out.
And every dry Dave in that fucking dance floor probably looking at you the whole time like, I wish I could get that wet.
Also, who's to say you got to do this salsa dancing in like a big fancy suit or whatever you're wearing? You're getting so warm. Maybe just some shorts and like nothing else, man.
I'm imagining them in the big talking head suit, just salsa dancing and just like just so damp all over inside.
Also, just don't drink a lot of water for the 48 hours beforehand, so that way you don't have any.
You
don't have any water to sweat, baby.
This is bad advice, you'll die.
No, you
can't do that.
I mean, there's other liquids you can drink.
The one thing I won't joke about on this show is hydration.
Yeah, that's true. So you know, you're right. I'm so sorry, everybody. I didn't mean it. Drink water. All the water you
drink
can.
Water.
Don't pee until you get on the floor.
I thought that in Silver Linings Playbook, they were both so dry. At the big scene in the end, we're like, time to win the dance contest. And then they do win it, but they're dry.
This is our third one that we have ruined. You must stop, Griffin.
Hey.
You ruined Star Wars, Casey at the Bat, Silver Linings Playbook. Leave something.
You know who does this fucking right? Dirty Dancing. At the end, when he's doing
Holy shit.
He looks sweaty as hell, and
that's
such a good look.
That's the...
You call it sweaty dancing.
Dirt is the man wet.
You see that room, and you're like, that man brought the humid in with him.
I think that a lot of people get yearbook quotes from this show, and that's fun. And if you do want to use the dirt is the man wet for that, to let people...
You're help yourself.
And your principal's going to call you and be like, What's this mean?
I'm not saying no.
Did you leave out some words or letters? Is there a conjunction that should be in there? What's happening?
Be like, you obviously don't know how to dance.
Yeah, man. And he's like, oh, yeah? And then challenges you right then and there.
But he's going to be so dry because he doesn't fucking know. If he knew, he would know what the dirt is the man wet means.
Kevin Bacon's bringing the man wet, too.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon brings, and I'm not just talking about Footloose. He brings it in Tremors, too. Lesser known dancing movie.
But that's just the climate.
Yeah. Well, no, that's a dry climate.
Well, it's the being afraid of big worms. But that makes the man wet also.
He would be terrified of Casey at the Bat.
It's not the, it's just the Tremors he's afraid of. It's not the heat, it's the monstrosity.
Yeah, that's true.
Just, oof, oof, oof. Do we want to do another, if we've been really zooming through these.
Like I love these. I've never done all the, I want to do another one.
Yeah, let's do it.
A while back, I was a member of a fan forum for a show. We get it.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to play coy with us. You used to like our show enough to be on a fan forum.
I don't think that's it. Keep going. The rest of this question might rule us out. Who knows, though?
I was chatting with the other forum members about how much I love the beautiful, dark green, iridescent suit that one of the characters wears.
Every recording.
They went out of the blue. One of the other members of the forum offered to give me an identical waistcoat from their closet that they need to get rid of. At the time, I declined because I didn't know them very well. But now I'm starting to get into wearing gothic style clothes, and that waistcoat is really looking really tempting. The only problem is it's been over a year since they offered. Should I reach out to them and see if they still have it, or have I waited too long and lost my chance at having a sick ass beetle vest?
Now wait, okay, so that changes it at the end there, doesn't it? Because I would not describe
a beetle vest.
I would not describe my dark green iridescent suit that I wear every recording as a beetle vest.
Travis, I feel like you've got the highest likelihood of knowing what this person is referring to.
I'm trying to pull it, right?
I'm thinking it's Big Bad Beetleborgs.
I mean, it can't be that.
Explain why.
Were you listing things you wanted to rule out?
No. Tell me why it can't be Big Bad Beetleborgs.
If I'm writing into my brother, and me, and I have a question that I'm going to take to them,
yeah,
and I do have a way of, and I want to make sure this gets answered, and I have the ability to tie it into Big Bad Beetleborgs, and thereby guaranteeing my participation in the program, I'm going
and
to
that's
tie
like,
it
we
in.
Don't,
it can't be Big Bad
We don't do roommate questions or anything anymore, but if somebody was like, my fucking roommate stole my potato chips again, how do I make sure he doesn't steal my potato chips? Also, Big Bad Beetleborgs. Then guess what? We are going to get into it.
But please don't listen. Now we've said it, the rule, it's gone. But that has been the truth for a long time. So I can't help with your question, but I can't help with the mystery. The dark green iridescent suit that one of the characters wears, and it's a beetle vest.
Well, it might not be an actual beetle. It might just be like iridescent and similar to a beetle's carapace.
But they said that the person offered them a waistcoat.
You know who I bet? I bet it's Arrow.
Arrow.
I bet it's Arrow.
Does Arrow have a waistcoat?
Oh, I got to look now. But when I'm thinking dark green, iridescent, Arrow.
Loves Beatles.
Arrow, character suit, very
Did you guys
erotic.
Know? Hey, Griffin, what's a waistcoat?
It's a waistcoat.
Travis, shut up. Griffin, what's a waistcoat?
It's like what pirates wears, yes?
Griffin, what's a waistcoat? Just describe a waistcoat for me.
It's a coat that cinches around the waist, and it's what pirate wears.
Does it got sleeves?
Yeah, it's a coat.
Oh, my God. No, it's a vest.
It's a vest. A waistcoat's a vest.
Well, then they should fucking call it that.
Did you know? I just learned this, now.
Oh, that was fun. So me and Justin were both dum-dums, but Justin educated himself and then thought he would turn...
No. I just wanted to see if you were saying, I'm admitting to my ignorance. I'm not hiding.
You didn't let me quiz you. So let me quiz you on some shit that both of us don't know, but I'm going to Google real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
I can't believe you guys didn't know.
This is really embarrassing.
You know what's funny is the capital of Arkansas, and a lot of people thought, and Justin, what do you think the capital of Arkansas is?
Little Rock.
God dang it. That's actually
try a different. Yes! Try a different one, Griffin.
I'll try a different city.
Yeah, do one about like animals.
I'm over here trying to Google beetle colored vest.
Yeah,
I need you guys to.
And what you should
up.
Be googling is the capital of fucking Wyoming, because I know it. I mean, I don't know it, but what do you know,
what?
Justin?
Oh, you don't know.
What
it.
Is it, Justin? You say it now, quick, before you
Cheyenne
googled that. You
That one I Googled. That one I had to Google. That one I had to Google.
It's got
to
be Arrow.
It's got to be Arrow.
I'm not finding a lot of pictures of him in a suit, though. I mean,
you wouldn't need that. You just need it in a vest. Just need Arrow, green vest.
Iridescent green.
Now, he said, okay, but wait. If they said it's a vest that one of the characters wears, that tells me that it's like a uniform. This is their costume, right? It's not just like, they don't say sometimes wears. Yeah. They say all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's got to be shown with a fan form.
Beautiful, dark. See, that's what's making me think.
Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody gives a shit about Arrow.
That is not true, Griffin.
Everyone
I've never met anybody who's like, love, you got to be watching
then
Arrow.
Then you need to get your fucking shit together, bro. Arrow
that's not
is
true.
Good.
At the first Comic-Con I ever went to, I thought I would be trampled until dead by real Arrowheads.
Yes. That is what we call ourselves.
Somebody yelled, I was chilling, and I was like looking at Pokemon cards, and somebody's like, it's a fucking Arrow? And then all of it was like a herd of wildebeest.
Gothic
just
style.
Just set upon me.
It might, if it's a gothic style iridescent green vest, it might be
Arrow.
Something supernatural, but I can't picture it.
Okay.
Does anybody on, Riverdale wear vests?
Don't watch Riverdale. It doesn't have a...
you don't have to watch Riverdale to Google Riverdale vest.
Yeah, Riverdale.
I want you to know, if it's not detective plus weird consultant, I don't watch it, Justin. If it's not Lucifer or Numbers or Mentalist or Monk or Psych or Lie to Me...
I found it.
What is it?
What is it?
Jughead wears the power vest.
Jughead wears the power vest?
Jughead wears the power vest.
Jughead vest.
Jughead wears the power vest when they are like trying to find out who the criminal is. Jughead wears the power.
Justin,
you mean when he activates the sigil?
Justin, please tell me you know powers. All the weird shit that happens in that TV show. It's off the rails.
It's yes. What I have said was clearly a joke, but also like wilder shit hath happened. yeah, but Jughead does have the power vest, and that's what he wears to go fast.
Well, I love that bit when he's like, gotta go fast, and then he puts on his emerald beetle vest.
And he zooms away, and everyone's like, whoa, and then he zooms back because he forgot all of his cheeseburgers.
I Googled characters who wear vests. That was
a mistake.
That was,
I'm looking at it now. It said Aladdin, it said Jughead, and then parentheses, power vest wearer, and then Arrow. So it's one of those three.
Yeah, there's a lot of vests in popular culture.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, wait a minute. Somebody from Naruto?
Does Naruto wear a vest?
The waist cut, this is what's problematic about this is that, well, one, it's not entertaining, but the second thing is that... maybe it's Outlander. Seems like people are wild.
Oh, Outlander.
It's probably Outlander.
Let's just assume it's
Outlander.
Let's
just call it for Outlander. Oh, yeah.
It's Joker. It's got to be Joker,
then
right?
What's the TV show, Justin?
Joker's Wild. His game show.
Yeah, you got me.
Yeah?
Yo.
You know what? There was that crossover event, Outlander, Big Bad Beetleborgs, where they travel back in time and they're like, you want a shag, baby? And then she's like, yeah. But then the Big Bad Beetleborgs show up with their crazy genie ghost. And they're
I remember
like,
that.
You better not.
That was basically Jay Leno.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But I guess it is important if you don't know that the genie was Jay Leno, to know that they hate sex. And so they show up, time travel, they go back in time. They say, you better not.
It is weird how much they brought up abstinence on that show. And not just like premarital abstinence, just like forever.
Yeah. The biggest, baddest Beagleborg is abstinence.
That's where the Beetleborg's power came from.
Yes.
The cages around their genitals.
Yeah, man. For sure. Definitely.
That was rarely talked about except on the fan forums.
Oh, what about the boys?
The boys?
Wait a minute. No, wait. It's got to be the boys or Loki.
Oh,
right?
I bet it's Loki.
It's got to be Loki. It's got to be Loki.
Because the boys, if you're talking about the Aquaman dude.
The Aquaman that guy has like an iridescent
that's
green.
That's not very gothic, though.
But Loki, for sure.
Loki. All right. Hey, gosh, I love
if
this
new segment.
If it was
Loki, they would have said, Loki, this is clearly something they're deeply ashamed of.
Ashamed, yeah. There is shame there. We like Loki.
We hate Beetleborgs.
Don't even email us about the Beetleborgs
we
anymore.
Hate those abstinent freaks.
Please write in. Tell us what the vest is
let's
from
say our
so
final
we can
answer.
Die.
Let's say our final answer. Justin, you're saying Loki. Travis.
No, I want to say the boys. I'm going to say the
I'm
boys.
I'm saying Loki. Loki feels right.
Okay. I'm going to say.
Oh, but wait a minute. Wait, the clue of gothic style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've ignored that Loki doesn't have a gothic style at all.
And I wouldn't say that
Loki when he's wearing the President Loki outfit.
No, when it's not,
style.
It's not like a beetle at all. It's just green.
Good fuck.
I'm gonna say Samurai Pizza Cats and leave it there.
Okay.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. If you can help us, this is all that I care about. Anyway.
We're also recording this a week ahead of time, and don't think I won't be thinking about it. For an entire week.
We're not going to get any sort of...
We got to publish this episode early. So I can...
Yeah, this got to be early. I have to have it. I mean, Ozark?
I literally just found a listing for Loki, Necessary Evil, Gothic Vest.
Why Necessary
I don't
evil?
Know what that part's about. But the Gothic Vest, it's right there.
Okay. Thank you for listening. Please email if you can help. I don't normally do that, but I also don't read our email, so I'm feeling pretty confident about it right now. Thanks to everybody that has listened to our show for 10 years. That's cool. Thank you. We're recording this early, so if there's like some funny fast food thing that happened in the past week and you're like, why didn't they?
Sorry.
It's because of that. I'll get you next time. No big deal.
Also, I want to let you know, we've got a live show tour coming up in June, June 17th through the 19th. We're doing an Adventure Zone and an MB&B AM in Boston on the 17th and 18th. And we'll be doing another MB&B AM in Mashantucket on the 19th. Get those tickets, as well as tickets for our Salt Lake City show, Portland show, San Diego, Washington, Detroit, and Cincinnati shows at bit.ly/McElroy Tours. They're super fun. And we love doing those live shows, and we hope to see you there. Mask and proof of full vaccination or negative COVID test within 72 hours of event start is required. Dad's Got Goldie's Guide to Grandchilding. It's out now. Go get it. It's really good and really cute, and you and your kids, or any kid in your life, is going to love it. It's at Linktree.
Young at heart.
Okay. linktr.ee/Goldie's Guide. We got new merch coming out this Wednesday. We got a Count Donut pin designed by Kevin Budnick. We've got a Taz sticker sheet designed by Lynn Doyle. We've got 10% of all proceeds this month go to Fairness West Virginia, the statewide civil rights advocacy organization dedicated to fair treatment and civil rights for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender West Virginians. So go check out all that new stuff and all the cool stuff that's already on there, McElroyMerch.com.
Hey, thanks to Montaigne for these for a theme song, My Life is Better With You.
Got a new single coming out, that Montaigne.
Oh, yeah. You should just go listen to all of Montaigne's music. She's been really cranking out some real jammers. And you're gonna really shake your booty to them.
And Griff, you know what I need.
I do.
I need that Tom Hiddleston impression from you.
Okay.
To close this out.
Sure. Who is that?
Loki.
He is the...
Remember we saw him one time? Walking out of a party that we were going to go into.
Oh, you're right.
It was the highlight of my life.
Okay, I'll say what he said then when we saw him walking out of a party going to his car. Okay.
Where's my fucking spaghetti?
My name's Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, me, kiss your dad, square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.